League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. Yes, it is the last off-season podcast, which you'll all be very pleased to hear about, as we have car launches coming up, then testing, then it's real Formula One racing before we know it. Next month, technically, we are getting underway again for some racing. Tommy, the WTF1 founder, and just probably the most beautiful wave I've seen this year. How are you feeling knowing that this is our last off-season podcast?
Excited. I think it's all kicking off tomorrow with Haas, so I'm excited to see a first car. That's when it feels real.
It does indeed. And of course, Katie Fairman, the WTF1 author, and not looking to be hydrating your plant too well. Looks a little bit unwell. I don't know. It looks a bit droopy. Would you agree? It looked more, oh God, I was going to say a word that was very inappropriate. It looked more upright last time I saw it.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not very good at looking after my plants. I think I need to just embrace the plastic plant. Because
you're too busy looking after the WTF1 fans with your...
This is true.
With your
this
annual.
Is so true. But I'll try and look after my plant better for you next time, Matt.
Thank you. I look forward...
Top quality audio chat, this.
Yes, there's a plant that's not looking healthy. Right, moving on. Let's talk to you about the WTF1 Clubhouse, which we currently have tickets on sale for right now. If you want to camp with us at the British Grand Prix, we had an amazing time last year and we are pretty much going to make it 3-4 times bigger. Loads of games, events during the evening, live recording of the podcast, watching me if you really want to film internet special reactions, and lots more quiz nights. Just everything. It's a banger. Just make sure you go watch the trailer that we've put out, because it gives you a good insight as to what it looks like. And we will all be there at some point to spend some time with you all, and look forward to seeing you there. So yeah, go check that out. It is WTF1.com/clubhouse. Correct, Tommy? Big nod, big thumbs up. Lovely. Right, let's talk about car launches just being around the corner. And basically, we just want to just kind of sort of share our thoughts on what we'd like to see at these F1 car launches. And we can see very different things, from pictures being posted up and that's it, to people dancing and, you know, music acts we've seen in the past. The Spice Girls, for example, have made an appearance quite a long time ago now, but still. So let's start with Team WTF1 member Claire Boyle. I can't wait to see if any teams have come up with a radical interpretation of the new rules that means their car is completely different to the FIA version of the 2022 car we've all seen. Although I feel like teams might try to hide their most innovative parts until testing. Yeah, I think obviously a running trend with car launches in general is teams try to hide as much as they possibly can. They will launch their livery, and even sometimes then that can change, but generally speaking, it is more of a sponsor's, you know, look at my fancy sponsor on the livery. Yeah, look at that one. You didn't notice that, and you'll never notice it throughout the entire season. But I highly doubt we will see many, if any, new parts, really. I think the actual body of it, though, I guess the interesting thing is the body of the car is going to have to be 22. They can't launch a 21 car and try and hide everything. So there is definitely going to be some zooming in, some interpretation, I'm sure. And you'll be, you know, right here on the WTF1 YouTube channel where we try and decipher everything. But teams are very clever, aren't they?
Yeah, we've had very similar rules for the last few years. So it will be that year. Normally, it's just a case of, like you say, like cars look the same. Everyone just jokes that, oh, that livery looks the same or different. Then if there are any new parts, I remember one year McLaren where they boosted the contrast massively of their new car and scribbled over all the winglets in black so you couldn't see them. People want to hide as much as possible, but with this, because it is a new car, we will see something that will be different to last year, no matter what. Whether that's you know, they're not going to be able to like hide the nose. They're not going to launch just hopefully not the renders of like the F1 car model. I'm sure we'll see like different noses and things like that, and then no doubt that's when, we're not going to see all the intricate parts. I'm sure Red Bull, for example, who are one of the first to launch next week, they're well known for releasing a render that maybe looks very simplistic, and then when they get onto the track, there's a million more pieces that no one discovered, and everyone's like, oh, what's this? This is new. Because teams don't want to obviously launch something and give the teams an extra couple of weeks to try and wonder what it is.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, I don't know, this is quite an old school reference, but like Sweet 16, the TV show, where these kids would show up in like a nice dress.
I was not expecting that.
That is the most niche. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but that's just the most niche reference.
But like, I've seen too many episodes of the show, but they show up in like a nice dress and you think, oh, they look good. And then, I don't know, it gets past 9 o'clock and they come down in like a proper bejazzled second dress that's even better than the first one. You follow my gist?
Absolutely.
That's what the F1 teams are kind of going to be like. They're going to show off this car. People will be like, oh, that's nice, blah, blah, blah. But it's not until we get to testing or even the first race. I mean, McLaren are even talking about bringing upgrades already to Bahrain, and we haven't even seen their first, you know, car launch yet. So it's going to be interesting. A lot of the changes as well will be happening underneath the car, to the floors of the car, which obviously we're not going to get to see much of. But yeah, I hope that there are some changes, and like Tommy said, it's not just going to be like copy paste but with a different livery for all the cars, but I think it should be good. And obviously there's going to be some dramatic changes anyway. End plates are going to look very different, the changes to the rear wing, there's talk of Ferrari are going to have a slightly different airbox. So there's already all these rumors circulating, but as we've said so far every podcast this year, we don't actually know what it's going to look like until we start seeing the launches.
Didn't you say about McLaren, was it McLaren that said that teams might bring like 5 different front wings to the first race or something, because no one's going to know what's the best one, which is great for cost cutting. It's going really well.
That's true. And also, I guess if they're bringing loads of different versions, if they knock one off of one particular version, they may not have that many spare to go along with that. So,
yeah, do you remember Red Bull 1 year? Was it Kvyat, and they had to test the car without a front wing because he knocked the only front wing off, and then they were just doing laps just to test the reliability, but he had no front wing, so they just had to test with a broken nose.
So hopefully that doesn't happen for teams going into the first race, otherwise that'd be a very strange Grand Prix where we have teams with noses and teams without noses racing in some sort of two class race.
Like the 80s.
So probably going to be very secretive, but look, there's always going to be things that they may well accidentally leak. We see a lot of that with car launches, just random photos of the car being put into a container or something where the teams haven't been able to stop, I don't know, Sue from the marketing team from putting it on a personal Instagram or whatever, and then it all gets everywhere. So I look forward to more of that. I do love a leak. It's good fun. Right, at Brendan, I assume that's Brandon or Brendan, 787-61140. Hopefully you know who you are. I just hope they don't all look the same, exact same. If they do, we might as well call it Indy 2.0. Wow. I mean, that's you're just throwing the season down the toilet before it's even been, like the first car's been launched. So I don't think they will. You know, Tommy's already sort of said that there might be 5 different front wings and things like that. So there's going to be different interpretations of the rules, no doubt. Of course, there are restrictions in the amount of aerodynamic innovation that they can actually do, because it's much more stripped back, with the hope that there's going to be better overtaking and the cars can sort of follow closely. I don't think they'll look the same. I think it's going to be quite a nice refresh, to be honest, because even, say, the Red Bull livery, even if they don't change the Red Bull livery, it's going to look different because it's on a different shaped car. So I think, generally speaking, I don't think we're really going to have that much of a problem with the cars looking all the same. And I certainly imagine there will be a few rollings of the dice in terms of, you know, for example, Alpine with that massive airbox that nobody really expected for them to run. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good old bit of fun creativity.
I definitely think that there'll be some differences between the cars, because at the end of the day, no one knows how to bend a rule book quite like the F1 teams when it comes to technical regulations. We've seen that throughout pretty much the history of Formula One. And there's some very creative people in those teams, Adrian Newey being one of them. So I'm sure he's come up with some sort of radical design that he might think nobody else has thought of. And somebody down at Haas might have thought the same thing. You just don't know. But it's definitely going to be quite interesting to see how, really, like, if there's any radical differences, because obviously everything's been simplified this year. Like, the front wing can now only be made up of a maximum of four elements overall, so there's not going to be a huge deal. You know, you're not going to have one of these front wings with stuff going everywhere, and it's just going to be quite nice and basic and simple. But yeah, I'm sure there's some proper brain boxes in Formula One that are gonna think of a clever way to do something different, and we'll be reacting to it on WTF1 and being like, is that allowed? Is that legal? I guarantee you at some point that will be like on, we've got already a car launch bingo, but add another one on there of somebody saying, is that allowed? Because some people will push them to the limits.
So can we tick our own bingo box? Is that what happens by us saying, is that allowed?
Yeah, we'll do them all. yeah, unpopular opinion, but if they all look exactly the same and it is Indy 2.0 and we get 9 different winners in the first 9 races, sign me up. because
outrageous opinion. Don't
get me wrong. Well, a lot of people. Well, it kind of is, because a lot of people really like the innovation of Formula One, and I do. It's fun to see, but at the end of the day, after the first excitement of the car reveals, everyone forget. Look at 2020, one of the best. 2012, one of the best seasons ever. Ugliest cars ever. Everyone was like, oh, Formula One's dead. And then you have the best season ever. And everyone forgets the step noses by the first race, as soon as the racing's good. Mm-hmm. We all love the innovations, but if that innovation means that a car is 4 seconds up the road ahead of everyone, then it's maybe not so great after the initial excitement for how creative it's been, when you have to then watch it dominate for an entire year. So I... personally, I'm not against these rules where they're trying to more spec parts and maybe keep them a bit more similar, because we want closer racing, because that is a lot of the reason why most people watch.
Exactly. I think that, Formula One fans love a moan. We all love a moan at times, and, we want this to be better, that to be better. But I think if we were to do like a hierarchical, is that a word? Hierarchy
of priority list. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Everyone I'm pretty sure would put close racing at the top, as much as you'd like to have these innovations list and teams to come up with amazing inventions. I don't think anyone would put that before having a close race, but hey, maybe I'm speaking for myself and not the fans. Moving on. Grind helps you make better, more sustainable coffee at home with their compostable coffee pods, filled with organic and fair trade coffee, compatible with your original style Nespresso machine. It's great coffee doing good. Get your first 30 compostable coffee pods for just £5, plus a pink refillable grind tin when you go to grind.co.uk and use code WTF1 at the checkout. That's over 60% off for the perfect cup of coffee at home. So why should you choose Grind? Well, they offer a sustainable alternative to plastic and aluminium coffee pods. Every minute, 29,000 plastic and aluminium coffee pods go to landfill. That's almost 30 billion pods a year. You can also get coffee delivered for free right to your door as and when you need it. Grind have a wealth of coffee experience, helping you to make barista-quality coffee at home. In addition to all of this, it tastes great. All of their coffee is certified organic and fair trade. So why not try it? Go to grind.co.uk and use code WTF1 for your first 30 compostable coffee pods for just £5, plus a pink refillable grind tin. It's time to step up your game with Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped to give them the right tools for the job. Go to manscaped.com and use code WTF1 for 20% off plus free shipping. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 contains 6 essential tools for the ultimate below-the-waist grooming routine. Inside, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate nuts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2022 looks to be. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code WTF1 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code WTF1. Have no regrets this year with our friends at Manscaped. let's talk about the actual car launches themselves. I kind of said that, you know, I'd like to have a bit of craziness. You know, we don't like photo reveals, but I guess the question is, are we going to see big launches or are we going to see just pictures? And I think it's going to be a mixture from what I've seen. Of course, COVID is still very much a thing. And unfortunately, it means that not everything is running as smoothly as teams would like. And it's not as easy to host large events. But, you know, there are some teams still going out of their way to make sure that there it is an in-person, or not in-person, like, you know, rather than just an asset drop. There you go. I can get my words out shortly. Miles Sebastian 1 says, I want something solidly cringeworthy. A Ferrari dance spectacular. Danny Rick rapping. Space age computer graphics. Drivers reading really awkward scripted lines. When I reflect back to last year and in particular Aston Martin's launch, you know, I think I was quite vocal. I think we all were like, yeah, it was pretty cringe. You know, it was a bit over the top. But when you actually reflect on it, you go, but you remember that. And it was, you know, everyone, you know, a little dosage of cringe is absolutely fine. And I think, you know, Aston Martin went full, you know, balls to the wall because, you know, James Bond and everything. I completely understand that. And I think I'd rather that than the teams all just go, here's our new car. See you next month or see you at testing. So, yeah, I'll take cringe. And I'll still complain about it, but I'll have cringe.
Yeah, you've summed it up. And also kind of in the last question of how we all like to complain about things, because the every list of, like, what's the best car launch, people always bring up the Spice Girls in 97, where they had this big launch. But, you know, if that launch was on YouTube this Monday, you'd get people going in the comments just going, cringe, show the car, Spice Girls are rubbish, all this kind of stuff.
British bias. It has nothing to do with it, but British bias.
but that's the thing. But then you look back at the whole event and you're like, actually, that's a really cool event and it's quite fun. But then when it gets to it, everyone just complains because all you want to do is see the car and you don't want to sit through 20 minutes of, like, an AlphaTauri fashion show or the Spice Girls or whatever. But then at the same time, when Red Bull just drop one image of the car on their content pool, you're just like, oh, okay. I know we said we wanted to see the car really quickly, but not like this. So it's a really difficult balance. They're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't for that, I find. But, I mean, yeah, why not? Why not have a bit of fun with it? Let's see some more Ferrari dance shows.
I appreciate the fun, and yeah, I did say I like a bit of cringe, but I still, even on reflection, think that the McLaren song between Danny Rick and Lando Norris was one of the worst bits of content I've ever watched. Like, just in terms of, like, they just weren't comfortable doing it together. Like, they hadn't formed any sort of relationship.
Yeah, it was a proper, you two are fun F1 drivers, because everyone on Twitter thought those two are going to be like besties, and oh my God, they're the two fun drivers of F1, and they are very different, and it was very much like, you two, be friends. And it just didn't work, did it?
No.
Gosh, I'm quite glad. Is it bad if I say I'm glad they didn't release that? Maybe it was so bad they couldn't release it. I mean, we will see. But I totally want really cringy launches. I don't want them to be like 5 hours long or anything, but, you know, the Alfa Romeo one last year was, I think, just about the right balance of, starting out, there was some smoke machine going off, and then some ballet dancers popped up on stage and some guy playing a grand piano. And I was like, this is like Eurovision. I love it. But then, yeah, they have these massive chunks where they're speaking to, like, Gary from, like, the sponsorship from, I don't know, All In or something, and he's waffling on for about 15 minutes. And we're like, Gary, babes, we don't care. We just want to see the car. So there needs
they
to be
know
a nice...
what they're doing there, don't they? They know what they're doing. They know they do, Gary from Orland's not going to get any time unless they stick him there.
This is true. But I'm looking forward to some of the launches this year. Although I've got a feeling that quite a lot of them are just going to be like, the best car ever, da-da-da-da, like on social media, and then a picture, and that's kind of going to be it. We're not going to have any super long, drawn out digital shows or anything, because Alpine tried it last year and that was just like the worst car launch, because the actual idea of it was really cool, but it just lagged and it was awful, and it just ended up doing them more damage than actually anything decent. So I guess that always runs a risk with technology and things like that, but
guess actually let's run through the digital one. So what are we expecting? We're expecting Ferrari to do one, I assume, but they always do. McLaren.
McLaren
are doing like a four car launch, aren't they?
Yeah, they're McLaren are launching their.
They are.
The Extreme E team, IndyCar. So they're probably, I would assume that they've all sort of got a common theme between them all, maybe. Aston, I assume, will do something again. Haas is tomorrow and they're just launching. It'd be renders, I'm assuming.
Haas really wanted a week worth of headlines, didn't they? They were just the 19th.
Haas always do that, don't they? I feel like Haas always are the ones who just drop the car really early and it's like, here you go, talk about us, please.
Yeah, literally.
But it's a massive, massive gap. I mean, we've posted a graphic about it numerous times every time they do a car launch, but I've never seen it so spread out. I guess this is new regulations for you, but. Yeah, having one on the 4th of Feb and then Alfa Romeo isn't until the 27th. Yeah, that's quite the gap.
It is. I felt like last year there was quite a big gap between them as well. So, but not before then. It just seems to be a running thing now where they just decide to release it when they fancy it, which is...
Alfa Romeo, their car launch is going to be after we've had the first official test, which is obviously the one that's behind closed doors in Barcelona. But... that's still really late to do like a launch after the first test.
And surely there's going to be pictures that surface. So there's really no point in launching a car that's already got on track. No. So
it's going to be for a nice livery.
Yeah, how you can do a private launch in 2022 is not, you know, it's impossible. Like there will be someone there with a camera phone, whether it's a marshal or someone just, you know, walking their dog without even knowing.
Just walking their dog through turn two. Hey.
What's going on here?
Great apex there, Rover.
Oh dear. It's like when Mercedes used to do their car launches at Silverstone, but they had the shakedown before their launch. So the pictures would leak. Everyone that was at the car launch would see the car.
It's and silver. Then they wow.
It. Yeah. Yeah. So interesting.
Yeah, because they drive it round the track. Yeah. And release pictures, and it's on Sky Sports News or whatever. And then they do the whole like light show with a thing on and take the camera off.
I saw that 3 hours ago.
Yeah,
brilliant. Yeah. Speaking of new liveries or not new liveries, Katie, I heard you know with the silver. Danny HR 95 says that they're most excited to see the Aston Martin livery with the green and lime instead of the pink. Very curious to see what Alpine do with the BWT sponsorship. They had the best livery last season. Very keen on seeing what they pull off this time around. Yeah, I think the Aston Martin definitely without the pink is going to be a nice. If they do go down the green and lime, which you'd imagine they will. It will look very nice because their sports cars look very good and I'm a big fan of it. And I think that obviously the lime sits much better than pink. And, you know, I'm no livery expert like Tom Bellingham here, the WTF1 founder. But, you know, it's going to look much better, I'm sure. Hopefully as well, they make it a bit more vibrant because it was a bit
boring.
Dead. Yeah, wasn't it? We
called
camera.
It, didn't we, in the podcast that it looked amazing when they had that studio reveal and then you get out on track and it just looks
bit
like
of a
the
gloomy
Mercedes.
Day. Yeah, it looked rubbish.
It wasn't enough vibrance to it. And then also, Alpine with BWT, how that's going to work.
Not confirmed yet, by the way, but I think it seems very, very likely. Because Otmar's still not there, even though he's rumoured. That's not official yet,
no,
is it? But
not official.
Just assumes it's happening. Yeah.
So blue and pink, Tommy, how are they getting around that?
It's going to look a bit... chaotic. It depends whether they go for because BWT are very vocal about what they want from their sponsorship.
You know, pink.
It is very much, you know, even though they weren't Aston's title sponsor, for them to still manage to, you know, request to get pink on the car shows that they're willing to pay a lot of money to get their colours on the car. So whether it ends up just looking like the Racing Point again, because they just go, no, we want full BWT branding. Here it is. And they just do that with the Alpine.
That's the brand of cereal.
No, Alpine, sponsored by Alpine. I think, teams should just only sign deals with brands, similar names. I could see. Yeah, I think it looked quite cool. I think it'd be nice when every single car was blue last year to have something a bit different. Why not?
Well, if you're wondering what it will look like, take a look at Tom Bellingham's YouTube channel where he'll be putting up all his livery editors in the brand new Gran Turismo 7. Katie, what's your thoughts?
I'm a little bit worried. I'm not quite as creative and as much as a visionary as Tommy is when it comes to like liveries and stuff.
Visionary,
Tommy's got
I like
such
that.
He's got such an eye. He's now the WTF1 God. Visionary instead of founder.
Oh dear, please no.
But in terms of the Aston Martin, yeah, the colour last year was just a bit boring and a bit dull. What am I talking about? It's very boring and very dull. And the pink was just an ugly match. I would rather it be bubblegum pink. So in an ideal world, if they could embrace like the lime green, like you say, that they have on the sports cars and have it kind of like a 65-35 of like the darkish green and Tommy's nodding. I sound like I'm saying something correct. Woohoo! Visionary's well, yeah. on board.
Very precise.
I feel like
ratios.
That's not, yeah, I love the way you're like really like
not 60,
going
40,
for it.
70, 30,
I also said 65 and then was like, I have to think of what adds up to make 100.
That was but, pretty yeah. much what they did in the Netflix. Like, I feel like the Netflix
yeah,
shows a lot more, you know,
was.
When they showed that this is what it is going to look like and then obviously looked nothing like that. Because they spent ages on that livery. I'm sure I read that they spent months and months and months like perfecting the colour, and then it got on track and looked terrible. Oops.
Oops-a-daisy. Next up, Ranny Dick. I'm assuming that's the opposite of Danny Rick. But hey, look, I'm just reading what I'm seeing. Okay, will some teams only have a one-off livery for the reveal, but then have a completely different livery for the racing that they reveal later? Red Bull tended to do it for the testing livery, right? Rather than their car launch as such.
Yeah. They did it for 1 year where
they did
didn't
it one
even
year
do
they,
that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
they just did a launch picture and then
they just banter it sometimes, Red Bull. So you never really know whether you're coming or going, although you do, because deep down you know that it's going to be the same livery for Red Bull.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of teams ideally want to release the actual livery for the time in which, you know, the car launch happens, but I guess sponsors change and things like that, but we don't tend to see too many amendments, do we, once it's launched?
I think Alpha, if I'm not mistaken, are doing one. And that'll be probably because they're releasing their car so late, so they'll do the secret, not so secret, we'll find out, test in a fancy special testing livery again, like they did a few years back. And then when they do the car reveal, then they'll have the more corporate Alfa Romeo standard livery on, from what I've heard. And there's also rumours that Ferrari might do something along those lines as well. I don't know how true that is, but
do we reckon as well, like there's more of a well, I guess more priority, more importance of the teams to maybe hide more this year because it's brand new regs. So could we see the, you know, Red Bull definitely bringing out the camo livery and things like that to try and
just to throw people off?
Yeah,
because I love the camo livery. That's one of my favorites ever.
I think everyone
loves
it, didn't they?
It's
brilliant.
The black and white one from the when it was literally like car camo.
I can see Katie with a thought bubble. Again. She's just dreaming of it right now. She's, like,
she's thinking of the ratio between black and white.
how bad is it? Whenever I hear the word ratio, I always think of just
think
people
of Twitter.
On Twitter saying ratio.
That word has been ruined.
It's
completely ruined. Completely ruined. But yeah, I think that we might well see a few more one-off liveries and things to try and, you know, hide certain parts of the car. But are you of the same opinion, Katie?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't imagine we're going to get too many things, like drastic changes when the cars have been launched before testing and then they rock up to testing and it's different. But like you say, they could change how it looks so they're not giving everything away. But I think most of them will just stick to the same personally. But and
I guess, to be fair, at the same time, photographers are out there taking very detailed pictures and it doesn't really matter what livery you run, they will find out and they will get the right angle to get those shots. Right, let's move on to another part of the car, the wheel covers. Of course, that is a brand new addition to the 2022 regulations. And you know, is it confirmed that they are LED? Do we know?
McLaren tested some out in testing. They tested I don't know if that's going to be the exact same for everyone.
Mm. Okay.
I know they said
LED,
they were.
I want full on raves.
Yeah, I know they said they wanted to do that later down the line, and it's something they wanted to experiment with. Like, you know, you could have display like what position people are in or whatever.
Wow, that'd be quite interesting. Jatoffel says, I want to see those big rims and creative driver-specific wheel covers. Yeah, I think that was one way of trying to, I guess, at least for the fans, be able to see exactly who it is and not have to judge it off the little, well, I personally do it off the little T on the top of the car, which I don't even know if that will be.
I cannot get used to that.
Can you not?
I know I should, because like, but just growing up in the era I did, I always look at the helmets, but I know the T-cam is the one, and no matter how many times tell me, I just never look. It's like just ingrained into my brain to look at the helmet. It's really bad.
Well, no, it just shows how old you are.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I was going to say, I've just done an article actually, which is probably going to go out maybe today on WTF1, about how I want them to make the numbers bigger on the back of the car for each driver. Because for new fans, and like when we were sat in the grandstand in Silverstone, you know, cars would be driving round, and obviously for the British drivers, they got a bigger cheer. But the amount of times people were like, yeah, and then all of a sudden it quietened down because they realised it was Nicholas Latifi and not George Russell coming around.
Oh,
like, which I know, I felt so bad for. But yeah, I feel if they can do other things to make it clearer for maybe new fans or something, that this
they're
is
meant to.
The car. Exactly, but like it's just not really a thing. And if you're a new fan, and even for me, I've been watching F1 for like a long time. I don't know, over 10, 15, 20 years. How old am I? Yeah, probably
10,
about 20
15,
years.
20, 25, 30. Yeah.
Been watching it since I was before I was born. But I can't tell you who half the drivers are that have the yellow T-cams.
Oh, come on, guys.
Amateur. I'm just no. obviously come an amateur.
It's weird because that's what's ingrained in me.
Okay,
is that a lot of the time.
Let's
is it the first? Is it the first driver? Is the non-yellow.
A lot of the time, but then there is some curveballs where Tsunoda
exactly.
doesn't
yes.
have the yellow T.
That doesn't make sense. That's what confuses me.
And things like that. But a lot of the time, the yellow one is the second driver.
Yeah.
So the
wheel cover is the perfect. Maybe the wheel cover is like the perfect thing because it's like you say, it's just a big circle. Stick a number on there or something.
But if it's going round at a billion miles an hour, it's just going to be
true. No, but it'd be static, won't it? Because it's not.
Oh, it's going to be so complicated, though.
Physics. Something can be done.
I feel sorry for the programmer.
A colour on the rim of it or something. I don't know. But then it might get confused with the tyres. Yeah, there's.
Oh yeah, I wonder what. Yeah.
Just have their face on the side.
What, one thing I've seen that's quite funny is some people.
And then their face is going round.
Yeah, that's quite funny because I saw like some people, people that do like livery designs and stuff have like
Shock.
Put like animations,
chat, aren't you? Just...
put like animations on them. Imagine like if they embraced it, where they, you know, like how on Twitter they have like reaction GIFs and stuff. Like they put them like on, like Sergio Perez gets overtaken. It's like GIF
a
of
sad
them, like...
face.
Yeah, like you know the one,
the one in the driver meeting
or in the intro credit around.
And there's like George Russell like when he makes a move and it's like in all honesty I'm a massive fan of this or whatever and you have like the memes on there you go
tires meme, him crying
meme wheel
in the
covers
media
is what
a meme
I want
wheel
to see
hold on so you want just bearing in mind how close F1 fans get to the cars you think someone will be able to read from Brooklands or something. In all honesty, I'm a massive fan of this and George Russell.
Well, if you just have the meme, just the meme on the
just the picture.
The picture, like everyone will know what it is. I want
apart
meme
from
80%
of the F1 audience that probably don't even know what a meme is. So
true. But
I mean the general audience anyway. But right. Okay, well, really glad we bounced those ideas around. I'm sure Formula One are listening and they will be implementing
it.
Absolutely.
Meme wheel covers happening next year.
There's
going to
be
announcing.
If they do have the LED, whatever they're going to do with that, then there's definitely an opportunity to use them to at least, you know, get them to be, allow them to identify who they are, what driver they are, and to help drivers, fans watch them go around. I think that's it, pretty much. All we have to say now is that we did mention it earlier on in the podcast that we're doing a WTF1 bingo, car launch bingo, this year. So you have to basically get in touch and let us know if something happens because we can't follow everything. But the ones that we've got are surprise renders revealed early, AlphaTauri Valentine's Day pun, live stream technical issues. Alpine have already crossed that one off, I think. James Bond reference in Aston launch. I mean, some of these are just done already, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Car gets leaked online. Stream takes longer than 20 minutes to show the car. That's basically all of them. Alpine has pink on it. Mercedes unlucky W13 joke. Nice one, I can tell. He just oozes of Tommy, this does. And driver awkwardly sat on a tyre. Well, okay, that one I reckon, yeah, we'll see. So I guess with bingo, you can go, you don't have to get all nine, eight, do you? Nine.
No.
All nine.
You just can go see how
diagonal or along or up and down. You can tell I go to bingo a lot. So yeah, cool. that'll be on our social media. So feel free to play along and let us know when something happens. And yeah, Tommy, final thoughts.
Final thoughts are meme wheel covers for 2023, please.
Okay. Katie?
Would you like my final thought?
You're just waiting for the message.
You're just shaking your head, and I was like, you're going to come in with anything? No, I'm going to... Okay, Katie?
My final thought is I really hope some of these new cars look nice, because so far I think the 2022 car is ugly. There's that bombshell to end.
Don't agree. I like them more already.
Wow!
Really?
From the renders, yeah. If they look that good, I prefer them to look. And I can't wait for those. I can't wait for the last year's car to get in the bin. To be honest, I said it in the last podcast.
Fair. And my final thought is,
I think
my final thought is that I'm looking forward to the Mercedes car launch to see if Lewis Hamilton turns up.
Yes.
Oh, that's true.
It is so weird, isn't it? Because I'm stuck in two minds of every time I think that like he could retire, I'm like, oh, it's just rubbish. Like, it's people just trying to, you know, make a big deal out of it. But the longer it does go on, and you know, he's got every right not to post on social media. People don't have to post on social media. You know, we don't all think that Sebastian Vettel is retiring because he doesn't have a Twitter account. But yeah, it is crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
So there you go. Thank you everybody for watching and listening to this final pre-season podcast, kind of. I mean, we are still very much in the pre-season and off-season. We're going from off-season to pre-season. There you go. We are making the transition. Make sure to give us a thumbs up, a comment, rate us on Spotify or wherever you're listening. And also, if you could vote for us on the Sports Podcast Awards, we are nominated on there. I think we're still winning. Every time we tell people to go and vote, the entire website crashes. So if you can't get through, I don't blame you for not voting. But if you remember, try again another time when we
do it, like 2 a.m. or something.
Yeah, if you could just set your alarm for 4 a.m. wherever you are and just vote for us, that'd be great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're the best.
There you go.
Thank you,
Tommy, the WTF1 founder. Thank you, Katie, the WTF1 author. And thank you to me, just
Matt. For being me.
Yeah, everyone thanks Tommy and Katie and never thanks Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Thank
you, I'm kidding. Right, see you soon. Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.